He's the expert.
Wow.
Boston turns two for all things baseball.
Why was this guy on the roster?
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mazz.
Presented by MassMutual, official sponsor of the Boston Red Sox. Also brought to you by Bigelow Tea, Corona, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Jackson Lumber, True Made Foods, BostonRefunds.com, and Blue Moon Belgian White.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, poor Joe Murray feels like he has to stay out of a sense of obligation. There is no obligation here, Joe. It's all good, my man.
If you're giving me the cue, I am out!
Get out! Get out! Go! Enjoy your holiday weekend. Go do your thing. Think I can't grind out an hour on the Red Sox with you? Joe, I could do the next full 5 hours on the Red Sox. We won't do it. But I'm on until 11 o'clock tonight. It's Matt McCarthy. Hi, how you doing? And we've got the phone lines open, and they will be open early and often tonight. Let me tell you that. 617-779-0985. Normally, Friday, you get, of course, Tony Maserati. He's out. Joe Murray in for Maz today. He's out. Normally, we have Tyler Milliken on the program on Friday when we do the Friday night roundtable. Milliken big-leagued me tonight. He filled in for Carrabas the other night. Then when I asked him, hey, by the way, you coming in Friday? Friday night of a holiday weekend. Milliken big-timed me. But you know what? If I were Milliken, I would have done the exact same thing. Good for him. Good for Milliken. If there's somebody out there who should big league anybody, it'd be Tyler Milliken. Because he's a legend, Stu. He's a legend.
That's courtside Milliken to you now because he was courtside at the Celtics game last night.
Oh, and his Jordans and his sweatsuit and everything. It was something
else. I love the fashion statement he made.
Unbelievable. I paused the TV. I was like, that's Milliken. It's right there. I was like, that Leo DiCaprio a meme. I was like, that's him. That's Milliken.
Did you hear him yell at the ref, spare me on that foul call?
That's exactly what he said. Spare me. Spare me. You know what you can spare me on? The Red Sox being a playoff team or the Red Sox being any better than this. But, you know, I did promise we're going to talk about the good things that the Red Sox have done this year. And there are a lot of good things. There really are. And I'm not trying to sound sarcastic. I'm not trying to be a DB. I'm not. Like, the Red Sox have been better than a lot of us expected. The Red Sox have done a lot of really, really good things this year. And Memorial Day is kind of always, you know, the traditional kind of first checkpoint moment in the Major League Baseball season. This is where you can really take a hard, long look at a baseball team and kind of have a sense of who they are, what they are, and where they're going. But I do worry that the Red Sox have reached their realistic ceiling for this season. With one very important caveat, I think they've reached their ceiling as presently constructed. They can always improve this team at the deadline. They can get Story and Duvall back. All that. But I don't really see the Red Sox being much more capable of what they've already shown you. Despite the fact that there have been a ton of things that have gone really well for the Red Sox this year. And that's kind of my takeaway from the first third of the season. The Red Sox are 26-24. Even I can do that math. That's 50 games. Like 50 games, that's a good opportunity to evaluate and take stock in this baseball team. And there have been a lot of things that have really gone well for the Red Sox. A ton. And think about the questions we had about the Red Sox entering this year. For the most part, most of those questions have been answered in a positive way for the Red Sox. Most of those things have broken in their favor. Yoshida's been good, and at times really good. Verdugo was excellent to start the year. He's been a little slow as of late, but like he got off to the best start of his career. He looked like an all-star coming out of the gate. Connor Wong has turned into a big league catcher. The bullpen at times has been really solid. Bayo's looked really good as of late. For the love of God, Chris Sale is healthy and effective. Chris Sale, healthy and effective. I mean, that is a gift from the gods right there. Jaron Duran turned into Ricky Henderson when he got called up from Worcester. Trust me, you didn't see that one coming. I didn't see that one coming. Nobody saw it coming. The Red Sox didn't see it coming. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been in Worcester. That's for sure. So being totally honest, when you take like a real legitimate look at this thing, there aren't too many things that haven't gone well to really well for the Red Sox this year. I mean, I can only think of a few. Casas hasn't lit the world on fire, okay? Corey Kluber sucked. You knew that was a possibility when you signed him. Maybe the biggest surprise is that Kike Hernandez has been one of the worst players in baseball. can't hit, can't field, can't play baseball, who's been horrible this year. But, I mean, other than that, what's really gone wrong? What's gone right compared to what's gone wrong for the Red Sox? Find me many things that have gone wrong for this team. 617-779-0985. Duvall's injury wasn't good, but that did pave the way for Jaron Duran. And again, he was Ricky Henderson when he got called up. He wouldn't have gotten a chance without it. They've had a lot of things go their way. Frankly, I think more than you ever could have counted on in March. And as we sit here tonight, they're 26-24. Everything has gone right for this team. Everything. And they're only 26-24. So when we evaluate the Red Sox at Memorial Day, it's important that we put that in context. Like, you might feel good about it, and I do kind of feel good about it. We talked about this a little bit with Carrabas last night. The expectations were so low entering this year, and they're giving you a baseball season, and they're giving you something every night, and you kind of feel good about things. But then when you really think about it, everything has broken their way, and they're only 26-24. So my question to you is this. Is that good enough? 617-779-0985. Are you okay with that as a Red Sox fan? The answer is pretty obvious to me. That's not good enough. Expectations be damned. Bridge year be damned. Heim Bloom in the long term, this model and that model, the sustainable model be damned. Everything's gone right and you're one game over 500. It's enough to get me to watch every night. It's enough to get me interested in the team. I haven't tuned them away. I've enjoyed watching them every single night. There is an entertainment factor with this team because you don't know what you're going to get every single night. They're up and down. They're kind of a 500 team. But be honest with yourself. Are you okay with that? And to me, I'm just not okay with it. How could you be okay with it? The Boston Red Sox, with the amount of money that they spend on this team, and it's not enough. They're 11th in baseball and payroll. That's not enough. That's not acceptable. They've still spent over $200 million on this baseball team, and they're 26-24. And the reason they're 26-24 is that things have broken their way. Just about everything this year has broken their way. And I just don't think there's much room to grow beyond that. Realistically, I just think this is kind of who they are. Again, Memorial Day, the opportunity to really take stock in your team and say, what do we have here? And right now you have a 500 baseball team. You okay with that? I'm not. Jimmy Stewart, you okay with that? You all right with where the Red Sox are right now, 26-24?
As long as they finish with 78 wins, I'm good. I'm a happy man. I make some money.
Hey, listen, I got them at 76.5, Jimmy. I was in on that early because I knew they wouldn't be bad, and they're not bad. But I want them to be good, and they're not good.
Non-gambling-wise, Matt, you're the Boston Red Sox. You have a $200 million payroll. You're supposed to be a contender for the American League Eastern Division. You're supposed to be a Final Four candidate each and every year.
Yep.
And because Theo Epstein proved it, you should be able to develop talent as you're still winning at a major league level. Theo Epstein, the greatest GM in the history of the Boston Red Sox, he proved that you can do both. And granted, the rules have changed. There's still a way to do both. Look at Dave Dombrowski. Dombrowski won a championship, and Dombrowski drafted Cassis. Yep. He drafted some of the prospects that are helping you contribute right now.
Right. And listen, the guys that, you know, Bloom has drafted, they'll show up in a couple of years and maybe they'll be good. Maybe they won't.
Or they won't.
Right. And we'll find out. But the fact of the matter is you're not contending for World Series titles in the interim. So how can you defend that? How can you say this is a really good year? And it is a good year based on the roster that they put together and based on the expectations entering the year, because they are overachieving. That's exactly what they're doing right now. They're overachieving. So you can be in part happy with that, and I am in part happy with that. The Red Sox give me a reason to watch every night. They haven't made me tune away or anything like that. And, you know, I mean, there was the first week and a half, 2 weeks of this season, you're wondering if they would make you tune away. And they haven't done that yet. 50 games in, 26-24. But I'm sorry, that's just not good enough. What do you make of it? We'll get to you early and often tonight, 617-779-0985. Let's go to Cuff in Pawtucket. Cuff.
Hey, what's going on? Listen, I just got a take on the Red Sox. Listen, this team is way above expectations right now. We were supposed to suck, and we kind of are, but we're in the toughest division in baseball. if Chris Sale's coming back, he's looking like he used to look. Our offense is one of the best offenses in baseball. Rafael Devers is living up to his contract. Yoshida is Devers and Yoshida are looking like all-stars. If this team can somehow just get lightning in a bottle and make the playoffs, I could see them making a deep, deep playoff run. That's my take. I will listen.
Okay. Thanks, Cuff. I disagree. They're not a playoff team as presently constructed. And I think you did hit on something there. You know, if you continue to overachieve, then you apply pressure to Heim Bloom and ownership at the deadline to go out and actually make this team a playoff quality team. But as presently constructed, I don't think there's enough talent on this team. And they are overachieving right now, but how long can you expect them to overachieve without getting them reinforcements? And I will not want to hear for the Red Sox at the trading deadline, well, we have Trevor Story coming back, or, well, we have Adam Duvall coming back, you know, whenever those guys get back and are healthy. Like, I'm not counting on that. Story with his bum elbow, Duvall's always been hurt, or at least has been in the last few years. Like, I'm not counting on that. Go out and actually improve this team. If your farm system is so good, and I'm not convinced, by the way, 100% that it is, that's a different discussion for another day, then go out and use it. If you have the opportunity to be a playoff team, pursue it. I don't want bridge years in year four. I know that's what we're dealing with here, but I don't want bridge years in year four. You mentioned the offense and how they're elite, how they're one of the best in baseball. I disagree with that. I've got some stats. I know we had some stats for Carrabas last night. We've got more stats tonight to back up the point that this Red Sox offense is not as good as you might think they are. And I think there's a regression coming there. Maybe the pitching is getting better, but the offense is getting worse. And what it ultimately all means is we've got a 500 baseball team. We got room for you. 617-779-0985. Are you okay with where the Red Sox are at Memorial Day? One game over 500. Are they overachieving? How significant is the overachievement, and can they keep it up? And can the lineup keep it up? I've got reasons why they probably won't next on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're listening to the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on the Sports Hub.
Obviously, you know, this is not us, but, you know, we have to make adjustments. People, they watch and they see and they make adjustments, right? And, you know, I think we're getting to the point in the league that sample matters, and they know what you've been doing the first 40 games. It's not what you've done in the past, so they see our numbers and what we've done, and they're going to start making adjustments. And now it's time for us to kind of like slow it down and break it down. And, you know, I think using the other side of the field, it helps. You know, I think there's a lot of pulled ground balls lately, you know, a lot of, you know, empty at bats. First time I said it this season, there's a lot of empty at bats.
Alex Cora on the struggles of the Red Sox offense in Anaheim, where they hit 156, went 15 innings scoreless, worst stretch of the year for the Red Sox offense, and they're not that bad, but I'm just not convinced that they're all that good. I think the biggest overachievement from the Red Sox this year has been in the lineup, because when you look at it 1 through 9, if you take a good, hard, long look, and again, that's what Memorial Day weekend is all about for baseball, taking a hard, long look and evaluating your baseball team, because you've got 50 games plus in some cases where there's a real sample size to say, all right, are they good or not? Who are they? What are they doing? You take a look at this Red Sox lineup tonight, and no Rafael Devers. He's getting the night off. Tapia, Verdugo, Turner, Yoshida, Ref Snyder, Casas, Hernandez, Valdez, Wong. Is that a good lineup? No. Throw Rafael Devers in there. Is that, like, ask yourself this, is that a good lineup? And I know they hit like a good lineup at the beginning of the year. I know they were one of the best lineups in baseball for the first 30 to 40 games, but that's not who they are. And over the last few weeks, they're starting to show you a little bit closer to who they probably are. This according to Red Sox stats on Twitter. Since May 7th, Red Sox are 5-9 and their offense ranks 25th. Hitting .235, .299, .376. And because Milliken's not here tonight, we'll even tell you that they were an 82 WRC plus. Weighted runs created plus. I know, Stu is back there saying, huh? What? Yep. Weighted runs created plus.
What does that mean, though, to the guy who's driving up Route 1 in Saugus on his truck?
I have no idea. I got no clue. Couldn't tell you what that means, but I can tell you that 100, I think, is average. So 82 weighted runs created plus, not good. 25th in baseball.
Oh, so yeah, they suck.
Right, correct.
And blow.
True. I'm going to give you some more stats, Jimmy, and you're going to ask me what does that mean? But just know that all of this sucks, okay? All right?
Okay.
I feel the need to fill in for Tyler Milliken tonight. Normally we would have him adding his insight and adding his knowledge and analytics to the program.
But he already worked this week.
Right, and he's too good to work Memorial Day Friday. I understand that. And you know what? He is too good to work Memorial Day Friday. Again, since May 7th, Red Sox 14th in barrel percentage, 18th in BABIP, batting average on balls in play. I know that one. 18th in strikeout percentage, 20th in walk percentage, 21st in hard hit percentage, 23rd in batting average. I can comprehend that one. That's good. Batting average, the percentage of times that you get a hit. They're 23rd in baseball over the last 2 weeks. 25th in isolated power.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but it has something to do with power, and I know the Red Sox don't have a very good offense when it comes to power.
Well, yeah, because they're a doubles team.
Correct. 26th in on base, 28th in fly ball percentage.
On base, that's not good.
No, because again, their lineup isn't very good, Jimmy.
Oh.
That's the problem. And I know, you know, Carrabas is going to push back on it, and Red Sox fans are going to push back on it. They're not a very good lineup. They're not. They overachieved. I've been saying it all year long. They hit over their heads in April, and it's starting to show now. They put the ball in play. They're a doubles team. Really, the only stat where you're like, okay, that's good, that's elite, they're first in baseball in doubles. How sustainable is it, though, when you're not hitting for other power? I don't know. But over the last 2 weeks, I'll tell you, it hasn't been good. I'm not telling you they're 25th in baseball when it comes to their lineup, which is what they've been over the last 2 weeks, but they're not third, which is what they were for the vast majority of April and into early May, really up until May 7th, a few weeks ago. Red Sox were top three in basically every meaningful offensive statistic, although I couldn't tell you whether BABIP or isolated power they were in top three because those aren't meaningful. Sorry, Milliken. Hate to break it to you. Last 2 weeks, starting to show, they hit over their heads. It's going to even out. I don't think it's trending in the right direction for the offense. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Drew in Boston. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Matt. I'm with you. This team stinks. It's a recipe for disaster when your starting pitching's got a staff ERA like north of six. And every guy's arm is like 1 second from falling off that's giving you anything this year. And the what you said about the lineup is so true. I mean, Duran himself, he's down, 100 points in like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
That was an aberration. All these guys, it's like a stacking of ifs. If this guy does this, and if this guy does that, and if this guy's healthy, and that guy's... I mean, it's like the what-if brigade, and that's always a recipe for disaster because you need 19 things to break right to be good and just a couple to break wrong to be terrible.
Well, and I think that's exactly what you're seeing, Drew. And I'll disagree. I'm not saying the Red Sox stink. You said the Red Sox stink. I don't think they stink. But I don't think they're good either. They are who they are. It's a 500 team. And to your point about the what-ifs have broken in the Red Sox direction this year. Very few things have actually gone against them. I mean, Connor Wong turning into a big league player. You couldn't have predicted that. Alex Verdugo was an all-star for the first month of the year. Okay? Masataka Yoshida's been a really good player since coming over from Japan. That wasn't a guarantee. Chris Sale's been healthy. Brian Bayo's starting to pitch well. Hopefully he stays healthy. Like, there are a million different things that have broken in their direction, and there have been actually very few things. And, I mean, let me know if I'm missing any. I'd say Kluber, Casas, and Kike Hernandez. That's kind of it in regards to things that really haven't broken your way this year. Those are three things compared to the 20 things that have gone right. So what happens if those things start to even out? You're going to be a below 500 team? I mean, maybe, because all these things have broken your way, and maybe they'll continue to break your way, and maybe it won't change. Maybe you'll have a horseshoe up your butt all year long. I don't know. But all I can say is a lot of these things have broken their way. The vast majority of the big questions of all the ifs, and the Red Sox had a million of them coming into this year, the vast majority of those ifs have broken in their direction, and it's gotten you to 26 and 24. I'm sorry, it's just not good enough. Jennifer in Westboro. Hey, Jennifer, you're up next with Matt McCarthy.
Hey, hi. I was just asking about Rafael Devers. I know he's under 300 right now. What's your prediction about what he's going to do this year? Do you feel like he's going to give us more? Is it going to be an impact? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Jennifer, thanks a lot. It's been a mixed bag for Devers. I mean, the power has certainly been there. The on-base percentage has not. I wasn't actually expecting this much power from Devers because I thought he didn't have enough protection in the lineup and teams would pitch around him. I don't know, maybe he's pressing because he knows that there isn't a lot of protection, and maybe that's why he's been able to hunt some pitches. He's got 13 home runs, but his on-base percentage is .290. He's only batting, you know, .250. So, I mean, you need more from him, but I would also say you need more from the guys around Devers. Like, are we seriously going to have Kike Hernandez batting behind Rafael Devers the way we have in recent weeks? Like, who's there to protect him? So, I mean, I get it. He's a $330 million player or whatever it is. And maybe it's been a little bit uneven, and maybe you can say, well, maybe things will get better from Devers because he is underachieving in certain elements. Again, the power has been there, but everything else really hasn't been. So, I mean, I expect Devers to be an impact player. He has been an impact player. I want a little bit more. I need a little bit more. If the Red Sox are going to be a playoff team, they need a little bit more. They need a lot more, frankly, everywhere else. I mean, again, you're one game over 500 with everything breaking in your direction. So, I mean, yeah, this is... it's been an uneven year for him. I don't really know what else, you know, you want me to say about it. It's been uneven for the guy. But in regards to problems, he's certainly not one of them. In regards to things that need to go a little bit better for the Red Sox, yeah, he's on that list, I would say, in certain elements. But I don't know. It kind of feels like a lot to ask for, right? We keep asking for all these things to break their way, and the vast majority of them have. So am I going to sit here and realistically say, well, you know, if Devers gives you more, like how many times are we going to say the word if? How many times are we going to ask more from this team? I mean, for the love of God, Chris Sale's healthy. Could you ask for anything more? Chris Sale's healthy. That's not going to last. You're getting production from guys that you shouldn't be getting production from. So, I mean, yeah, you can hone in on Rafael Devers all you want, but I don't know. It just feels like too much to ask from this team. 617-779-0985. There is one guy you could ask a little bit more from, or a lot more. Two or three. Kike Hernandez, one of them. Tristan Casas, one of them, although he's a rookie. How about a 37-year-old, two-time Cy Young Award winner who's now heading to the bullpen? Could ask a little bit more from that guy. I do, though, want to give Corey Kluber a bit of a golf clap. I think we deserve to praise Corey Kluber, and I'm sorry, what's his ERA again? What's Corey Kluber's ERA? It is, hold on.
666?
Yeah, no, it's 626. I'm going to praise the guy with the 626 ERA. God, that's gross. And I will do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking baseball with the insiders and with you, the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on the Sports Hub.
You know, normally the Friday show of the Baseball Hour, which is normally the roundtable with Tyler Milliken alongside Maz, of course, here. Matt McCarthy. Hi, how you doing? 617-779-0985. 1-800-919-0985. It has taken on a bit of an agenda-free Friday type of format this year. Yeah, you rehash some of the stuff from the week. One of the big discussion points from this week has been Corey Kluber, has been the starting rotation, and has been how, you know, the Red Sox are going to handle this and how they should handle it, and the philosophy of, you know, how they go about finding starting pitchers. And undeniably, Corey Kluber was a mistake for this team. He's been one of the worst pitchers in baseball. The guy is clearly, clearly washed up. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind. I don't think there's any doubt in Corey Kluber's mind, because he's pitched to me like a guy all year long who knows he used to throw 95, now knows he's throwing 86 to 88, and his command is off, and he's nibbling because he's afraid to go in the zone, because he's washed up and he knows it. But the Red Sox did the right thing this week by sending him to the bullpen, and I was concerned that they wouldn't, because he's a veteran guy. He's won two Cy Youngs. He was a prize free agent acquisition. Not that he should be at 1 year and $10 million. That's not how he should be viewed. But given how the Red Sox have approached free agency in the last few years, Corey Kluber is one of their guys. I mean, this is one of Heim Bloom's crown jewels from this past offseason. And I was concerned that they were not going to send this guy to the bullpen or not designate him for assignment, and they were going to continue to trot him out there every 5 to 6 days. And this week, they finally said enough is enough. And hopefully after watching the San Diego start, I mean, you can't be blind to it. This guy's done. He's cooked. He's washed up. So I give the Red Sox credit for admitting that. You know, it takes a big man to admit his mistakes and all of that. And Heim Bloom had to sign off on this, I'm sure. And they did the right thing. So I give them credit. But I also give Corey Kluber some credit, too. You know, this is a guy who could have taken his ball and gone home. I mean, literally, he could have gone home. It's not far. It's a guy who's won two Cy Youngs. He's getting paid a lot of money. It's all guaranteed. You know, how many pitchers have you seen over the years? You know, cash in on past performance, all that. He's getting a lot of money for no good reason at all, at least not for present performance, that's for sure. But here's a guy who doesn't have to earn a thing anymore in baseball. That's the way the business works. It's all that. He showed up. He signs his name on the dotted line. 1 year, $10 million. Doesn't matter what you do. You're getting paid. And he accepted his assignment to the bullpen. And I think, you know, again, I don't want to, you know, be effusive in my praise for the guy with a 6.5 ERA, but I think a lot of other guys would have said, no, screw you. Nah, you know what? Just release me. Just designate me for assignment. I'm not going to the bullpen. Let's call it a day here. I'm good. My career's over anyway. It's automatic. I'm living 10 miles from home. I don't want to be out in Arizona. I don't want to be going on the road, pitching out of the bullpen. No, release me. My career's done anyway. Just pay me and I'll go away. How many guys would have done that? Tons of guys. I mean, you see it every year. Happens all the time. Guys just take their money and go home. But Kluber didn't. He didn't have to do this. He accepted his role, which at least I think in some part is a reflection of his competitiveness, I guess. I mean, again, not that we're going to, you know, completely blow smoke here or anything, but it is a reflection of his competitiveness. Because instead of staying on this road trip, he could be wrapping up 18 at the Winchester Country Club right now. I mean, there's nothing to stop this guy from doing it. So good for him. Now, I don't have high hopes for this. I don't think he'll be effective out of the bullpen, but I will allow for this. Maybe, just maybe, moving to the bullpen has his stuff tick up a little bit. Maybe that 86 turns into 89 or 90, and maybe he can give you a little something. Now, it's not what I want to do. I don't want to be spending $10 million on Corey Kluber to, you know, be a glorified long man out of the bullpen, which is exactly what Heim Bloom has done. Another fantastic move from Heim Bloom. Nobody better at his job than Heim Bloom. I don't want to be paying Corey Kluber to do that, but maybe, just maybe, his stuff ticks up in the bullpen a little bit and he's not completely and totally washed, which I think he is right now. But let's see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that competitiveness will show up. Maybe all of a sudden you get a couple more miles per hour on your fastball, you get a little bit of confidence back. Because instead of throwing 86, you're throwing 89 or 90, and that feels better to Corey Kluber, and he feels like he can live in the zone, and he can start attacking hitters again, which he hasn't all year long because he's been pitching scared. He's been pitching scared all year long because he knows he's washed. He knows that's it. He knows I don't have anything left in the tank. Chet Stedman at the end of Rookie of the Year. I'm just waiting for his arm to blow up because he's had injuries too. He's been nibbling and walking guys all year long because he knows his stuff isn't there. Maybe it works out of the bullpen. I'm not counting on it. I don't anticipate that it will. But I am intrigued a little bit. Let's see how it goes, because this guy has been a good pitcher for a long time. Or was a good pitcher in 2016, 2017. Two Cy Youngs, I mean, it's no joke. He knows how to pitch. If the stuff's a little bit better out of the bullpen, maybe he can give you something. Not counting on it, but I am at least a little intrigued to see it. I'll give him a shot, because he's giving it a shot. And a lot of guys wouldn't have to do that. So as a fan, I feel like, okay, I'll give him a shot too. 617-779-0985. The fact that he's here, though, in the first place, that's the real problem. That's the issue. And the Red Sox and Chaim Bloom's unwillingness to make long-term commitments to starting pitchers. Jared Carrabas and I talked about this a little bit last night. But the starting pitchers that the Red Sox have let go over the last few years because they got multi-year deals elsewhere, it's really starting to look bad for them. And you can say, well, you know, all right, there was a reason they didn't sign Nathan Eovaldi, because he wanted more. The Red Sox had already moved on at that point. It just didn't work out. There was a reason they didn't sign Eduardo Rodriguez. Jared Carrabas insinuating last night maybe he didn't really want to be here and they didn't really want him here, and maybe it overstayed his welcome and all that. Michael Wacha, oh, do you really want to commit to Michael Wacha for 4 years? Well, ultimately, this is what you have. You have Corey Kluber, 1 year, $10 million. Replacing James Paxton last year, 1 year, $10 million, where he got nothing from the guy, who replaced Garrett Richards, 1 year, $10 million, 3 years ago. I mean, Chaim Bloom is obsessed. It is a sickness, the 1 year, $10 million sickness that the Red Sox and Chaim Bloom have for starting pitchers. 1 year, $10 million every year, or would you rather have Eduardo Rodriguez at 5 for $75, which is a very reasonable deal for a starting pitcher, who is currently third in the American League in ERA? At 2.19. Would you rather have Corey Kluber, 1 year, $10 million, and some other guy, the next bum next year, 1 year, $10 million, in the hopes that you get something out of him? Would you rather have that, or would you rather have Nathan Eovaldi, who's 6-2 with a 2.6 ERA? I think I'll take Eovaldi. Would you rather have next year's Garrett Richards or Michael Wacha for the next 4 years? He's 5-1 with a 3.58 ERA. I don't even think it's a question. And the Red Sox have taken themselves out of the market for guys like Rodriguez, like Eovaldi, like Wacha, just about any starting pitcher who is going to command a multi-year deal. And I'm sorry, the way baseball works is if you're a good starting pitcher and you're healthy when you hit the market, doesn't mean that you're going to stay healthy, doesn't mean that you haven't been healthy in the past, but if you're healthy when you hit the market, you are going to command multi-year deals.
Spare me on Eduardo Rodriguez.
I will not spare you on Eduardo Rodriguez. He's right now, he's 4-4 with a 2.19. The guy is going to be an all-star. Where would the Red Sox be? Where would the Red Sox be if they had Eduardo Rodriguez over Corey Kluber right now? Milliken, huh? Where would they be?
Spare me on it all. I don't need it.
I need it. I need good pitchers. I need good pitchers, Milliken, and if you're going to get good pitchers, you need to commit multi-year deals to them. You have to do it. Otherwise, you're just spinning a wheel of crap and hoping something hits. And you know what? They did that with Wacha last year, and he was finally healthy for most of the year, and he was really effective. He was good. But they felt he was lucky, and Kluber was unlucky, where if you use your eyes and you look at Corey Kluber, you say, this guy's washed. He's throwing 86. For the love of God. 86. He used to throw 96. He's washed. But you can get yourself a Corey Kluber, 1 year, $10 million every single year. Oh, you can totally do that. But if you want like a good, reliable pitcher, somebody who's going to be out there and somebody who's going to be, I don't know, Eddie Rodriguez or Nathan Eovaldi or Michael Wacha.
Spare me on the Eduardo Rodriguez.
No, I will not. 4-4, a 2.19 Milliken. 2.19 ERA. I know that's not FIP. I know that's not your XWO bacon, or at least the pitching equivalent. Yes, that's a real stat, Jimmy. XWO bacon.
What does that mean?
I don't know. So hold on. Wait. Hold on.
Wait, is this crispy bacon or is this like undercooked bacon?
Undercooked bacon is the way to go. Not undercooked. That's offensive. You need to have it like medium rare. Medium rare bacon. Crispy bacon. You cook the flavor out of it. It's a sickness. All right, so XWO bacon, writing this out now, is expected.
Is that a football term where you put the bacon in the receiver slot and
yeah, no, exactly.
The Y banana?
The pulling guard comes out, the spider Y banana. Your XWO bacon is expected, weighted, on base, and average with contact. That's XWO bacon. It's a real stat.
I'm baffled on this one.
XWO bacon. Look it up. Google it. Google it, Stu. God, I felt like Felger there. Look it up. Majori, Google it.
Side topic, sorry.
No. We'll talk about XWO bacon. Hey, what's the Red Sox? It's an offensive stat, so we need to find the pitching equivalent of the XWO bacon. I wonder what the Red Sox, we were just talking about how the Red Sox offense you all thought was good. Unfortunately, they're not actually. They kind of stink. And they have for the last 3 weeks. I wonder what their XWO bacon has been for the last 3 weeks. Red Sox stats, can you get on that? Boston Sports Inf, can you get on that? I need this. What is the Red Sox XWO bacon right now? Nerds. Stupid nerds. If I did that to Milliken, if I XWO baconed him, he would not have liked that. Because,
excuse me?
Yeah, I want to XWO bacon Milliken. 617-779-0985. Poor guy doesn't show up and we XWO bacon him. I don't know what to tell you. We'll get to what you want to watch for in tonight's game.
There's a pitch type XWO BA on contact.
Oh, what's Eddie Rodriguez's XWO bacon? And what's Corey Kluber's XWO bacon? That's what I want to know.
Eh? I have no idea.
Informative. It really is sad we don't have Milliken here. He could break this all down for us.
There are 33 nerds right now in the Red Sox front office who are listening to the show and go yelling at their radio because they know what XWO bacon is. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I don't care. Nerds. Why don't you figure out that starting pitching costs multi-year contracts? You want to figure that out? What's the expected value return over the course of 4 years? Clearly, you don't think it's any good, which is why Waka, Evaldi, and Rodriguez are gone, and you've got that bum Corey Kluber in your bullpen. But, you know, good for him, actually. Again, good for Corey Kluber and his professionalism and his competitiveness. That's a reflection on him. But the fact that he's here is a reflection on the 33 nerds who weren't paying attention or were paying attention, I don't know, to his XWO bacon. We'll continue on this madness of the baseball.
Oh, my God. I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Thank you, Dan. And that's how I'm going to feel going all the way until 11 o'clock tonight. We'll continue the baseball hour next.
I don't think this is one of the strongest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
A.org.
Talking about the hits and misses on and off the field. This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
McCarthy in for Maz tonight. Going all the way up until 11 o'clock, but the baseball hour ends in a few minutes, which means Stu and Majori get to get out of here. And trust me when I say, well, I will not take you a second beyond 7 o'clock, gentlemen. I know Stu and I are looking forward to our Monday afternoon Felger and Maz experience. We're going to get Stu in this room. It'll be fantastic. Hopefully preparing for Game 7. We'll see about that.
And if we are preparing for a Game 7, Michael Felger will grace us with his presence from 2 to 6.
But not 2 to 7. We do
not
the
2 to 7.
We do the extra hour, the bonus hour. I don't believe it'll be a baseball hour, although I think we can do whatever the hell we want with it.
I believe that we'll be doing 6 to 7 Celtics preview, because if you're driving into the game, it makes sense to have Boston Celtics basketball talk, especially going to a Game 7.
And that's precisely why we have Stu around, to program the show appropriately. So that's what you can look out for.
They tell me what to do, and I say yes, sir, no, sir.
Well, exactly. Like any good employee or any smart radio person ever, because we are the most replaceable people on Earth.
You tell me to be in one room, fine. You tell me to be in a different room, I'm good with that.
I'm very happy to have you in this room on Monday. I'm thrilled about it.
I don't know that the people of Boston are, but thank you.
Well, they're still going to listen anyway, and the numbers would suggest that. So look out for that on Monday. But now it's time for the Between the Limes, baseball report, brought to you by Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. With what to watch out for during this weekend's games, enjoy the finer life of sports with Corona. Must be 21 plus, relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. We've talked a lot about the Red Sox offense tonight and how I think they overachieved for the first month of the year, and how they're starting to regress and come back to earth a little bit. I'm not going to tell you to watch the Red Sox bats. I mean, sure, watch them. Why the hell not? Chris Sale is what to watch for this weekend. The pitching is what to watch for this weekend. Garrett Whitlock returning to the big leagues. But Chris Sale, with the way he's pitched recently, 4 straight quality starts. He pitches tonight. In those 4 starts, 27 and a third innings pitched, 7 earned runs, 16 hits, 32 strikeouts, and only 3 walks. I mean, that is like old school Chris Sale dominance, which I did not expect the Red Sox to get. Again, we talked about the developments and the things that have broken the Red Sox way this year. None bigger than Chris Sale. Reverting back to Chris Sale and being healthy, at least for now. We'll see if it holds up. We'll see if it stays. But that's the best development the Red Sox have had all year long. And yet they're still only 26 and 24 at Memorial Day. Peter, in the car, you've got 20 seconds here, Peter.
Hi, I'm a little upset with Chaim Bloom as a GM, because it seems like he's picking up players who have come off an injury year, and then he's paying them a ton of money. I mean, we're talking about, he picks up Duvall, who just came off a bad injury,
yep.
And then he's gone. And we had Schwarber, who he picked up at the trading deadline, and he was injured and didn't play for several weeks.
Yeah, and Peter, I got to let you go on that, because we're up against it, and I'm not going to make Jay Stu and Majori stay after. You can eminence front me right now, Stu. We got 25 seconds. I will make sure you're getting the hell out of here, but that's exactly who Chaim Bloom is. It's all about value, and injured players are a good value. That's why he signs him. That's it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.